The sermon title today is God's Design. The word design in Webster Dictionary means a plan, a purpose, and that it is intend or intended. If we extend that out to the word designed, it means done purposely, intended. God is our designer who created us with a plan and with a purpose. And I know that we have looked at these scriptures before, but you're going to have to humor me and we're going to have to go back through them again today. So number one, by the numbers, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, which should be fairly easy for you to find, but Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." But what does he say in the beginning of verse 26? "Then God said, let us make man in our image." And who was there at the time of creation? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us in the Gospel of John that there was nothing created without Jesus. We know that he was there. And we also know that the Holy Spirit was there. So you're not only physical, but you are also a spiritual being. When you look at verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him." So number one, by the numbers, you are created in the image of God. Number two, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And Jeremiah and chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That's before you were conceived. Hello. That was before you would conceive. God knew you. God knew you were going to be on this earth. He not only knew that you were going to be on this earth, he knew that you were going to be on this earth now, at this time. So he says, "Before I formed you," verse 5 of Jeremiah 1, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to a prophet to the nations." Before you were conceived, God knew you. You and I were planned. No one is born by accident. Number three, if you turn to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. In 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future," to give you a future, and what a hope. Jeremiah 21, 9, verse 11, created with a plan and with a purpose. So you're created in God's image. You were created when God said you were going to be created. It was his plan and his purpose, his design that you were on this earth at this point in time, right now, in this time in history. Now, also in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." To what? To those who are called according to his what? His purpose. One more. Number four. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. We've already referred to it, but we're going to go back to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." There is what in verse 2? A time to be born. The appointed time for you to live your life on this earth is right now. And if you think about that just for a moment, God chose you for right now with a plan and with a purpose. So people automatically ask, what is God's plan for me? What is my purpose in life? Well, number one is for you to accept Jesus, for you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number two, for you to live your life for God. Are you living your life for God today? And number three, for you to tell others. And throughout all of your life, He is going to be working in your life through the work of sanctification to transform you into the very image of His Son. What does all of this mean? God is our creator and He is our designer. He designed you. You will never enjoy life without God. The whole world is looking for something. The whole world is on a mission to find something that will bring satisfaction, joy, and happiness in their life, and it cannot be found without God. So He designed you. You will never enjoy life without God. He designed marriage. A marriage without God was not God's design. He designed the family structure. A family without God was never to be experienced. So what it comes down to is this. Your life is to be lived in tandem with God. So is your life being lived today in tandem with God, or do you find out there's a little bit that it's out of balance? And in this unique relationship, God is supposed to have the steering wheel in His hands. It's not supposed to be in your hands. But the question is, does He? In your life, does God hold the steering wheel, or do you? If you do, you will never experience God, you will never experience God's plan and purpose for your life as fully as you should. And it will be a life of no lasting fulfillment because you're the one being in control and God wants to be in control. You know, that is idolatry. We think we don't have idolatry today. But if a Christian today is taking God off the throne of their life and setting themselves on the throne of their life, what are you doing? You're worshiping yourself. Because your way, your desire, your goals are above your heavenly Father, and the Lord is not going to share you with anybody. He's not even going to share you with yourself. Let me give you a picture of this. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. You're already there. Chapter 2 and verse 11. On Wednesday morning, we've been studying Ecclesiastes. So anybody that's on Wednesday morning study, man, you're going to be right on track on this sermon today. But Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10, it says this. Now, this is a picture I want to give you. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity. And grasping for the wind, now listen to the words, there was no profit under the sun. So vanity means meaningless, or to think that something is really important, but it is not important. If the writer of Ecclesiastes is Solomon, and I believe that it is Solomon, he was the richest man in the world. In verse 10, whatever he desired, he could have, and everything that he desired, he did have. But in verse 11, what? It was all meaningless. So why was it meaningless? Because the relationship with God was absent. You see, we are created with a plan and with a purpose, but there is one more thing that we were created for that you might have missed. We were created for a relationship. A relationship with our Heavenly Father, that's where the part of being in tandem comes from. We are in tandem through our relationship with God. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, just go back a little ways. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes. But in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. What is the way of death? The inseparation from God. So this is the picture of a man when he holds the steering wheel. The picture of a man when he holds the steering wheel. It's not going to bring you closer to God, but it will take you away from your relationship with the Lord. So Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10 through 11 is the picture of a man who is supposed to know God, but he's still holding the steering wheel. So we see one picture in Proverbs 14, 12 of someone that says, I've got the steering wheel. I'm going to control my own life. I'm going to control my own destiny. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it because I am the man that is in charge of everything in my life. And what does he say? It leads to death. There's a way that seems right to man that will lead to his own destruction. Now, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10 through 11, is a picture of man who's supposed to know God, but he's still hanging on to the steering wheel. Now we want to show you a picture of a believer when God holds the steering wheel. So we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. Here it is, what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. So what is he saying? Yes, you're supposed to enjoy life. Many of you have worked very, very hard in your life, and you're enjoying your retirement today, or as much as your retirement that you possibly can. When you go outside, you enjoy creation. When you go on vacation, you enjoy the gifts that God has brought before us that we can enjoy those things. We enjoy creation. We enjoy the blessings of God. But life was never to be lived without God, but with God. So God doesn't say not to enjoy those things. Many of you guys enjoy going fishing. You should enjoy going fishing. But fishing shouldn't take place of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Fishing shouldn't take precedence over what you're going to be doing for God, because God's got the steering wheel. He's going to allow you to enjoy those things on the left hand and enjoy those things on the right hand. But at the same time, your focus is going to be your relationship that you have with Him. That is where true joy and happiness and fulfillment flows from, is from our relationship that we have with God, not with things. When we looked at this scripture last week, and I want to go to it. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go there just for a moment. We shared about this scripture last week, and I want to share it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Remember that last week? It is God-breathed. It's God's breath on paper. It is God-breathed. We can put our trust in it. We can rely on it. We can trust the things of God. So he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Lord challenges us in our walk with Him, and He says, no, I don't want you to go this way. I want you to go this way. He's reproving, He's instructing, He's teaching, and He's growing us up in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But are we listening, or we say, no, I'm not going to go that direction. Lord, this is the direction I want to go. That's the difference between being a follower and being a disciple. If you're being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, your will is A, God's will is B, and every time you're going to say, I'm going to deny myself, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I will choose B. Every time. So the things that I have to submit to Him, such as time, such as talents, the things that you want to do, I say, no, I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to do what the Lord has asked me to do. I'm going to do what the Lord wills for me to do. I could say, I'm 67, I'm going to be 68, I should be enjoying my retirement, I should be going on vacations with my wife, I should be doing the things of my labor that I have enjoyed all these years, and Lord, I have worked for you, but the Lord says, I want you to do this. So what do? You deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Jesus, and because you know that's where true joy and that's where true fulfillment comes from. It doesn't come from this world, and it doesn't come from you doing your own thing. It comes from our relationship that we have with Him. So yes, we enjoy life, but it's also because of our tandem relationship with the Lord. His blessings is why I enjoy those things. That is where true joy and happiness and fulfillment flows from, out of our relationship with God. The sad part is this. Even among Christian believers, they search their whole lives and are still not able to lay hold of it. Why? Because their whole Christian walk, they've never been willing to let go of the steering wheel. When is it going to be time? You see, Pastor Leo is all in for Jesus. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not giving anything up. I'm all in for Jesus. He wants all of us to be all in for Him. Well, we're not saying what we're saying, well, A is what I want to do, but B is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do B because I'm all in for Jesus. He wants you to be that way. Because if you are that way, He will bless your life. When is it going to be time in your life when you stop saying, God, I got this, and start saying, God, you've got it. I can't handle it anymore. Many of us come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior because we were so fed up with our life. We had tried it our way, and our way was leading to us, we knew, to a path of destruction. Your pastor today, if he wouldn't have known Jesus as the Lord and Savior, I would be gone by now. Because I was caught up in alcohol. I was caught up in cigarettes. My dad died when he was 62. How long do you think that I was going to live when I started smoking about age 13 and started drinking at age 16? I would be gone. But the Lord spared my life because I give my heart to Him. In our hearts, He wants all of us. He don't want part of you. He don't want just your leg. He don't want just your arm. He don't want the things that are falling off your life that you got time for. He wants every bit of you. That's what is denying yourself, picking up your cross. You're going to deny yourself because you're going to deny yourself the things of the world and follow Jesus. And that is where life truly is. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You that, Father, You bring us in content with You bring us together with the Word of God so we can see the errors, where we need to be reproved, where we need to be instructed, that we will draw ever closer to You. And I know, Father, there's too many people. They still got their hands on the steering wheel. They need to let go, and they need to let You take control of their lives. How many in this room, you don't even have to raise your hand, how many in this room would say, boy, I tell you what, I wish my spouse would let go of the steering wheel. I want things different in my life, but he is unwilling, she is unwilling. Maybe I am unwilling. I need to let go. I want everything that God has for me. God has chosen you to be here on this earth right now. You're not here by accident. Right now, He chose you and He knew you were going to be here and He wants to have the hands on the steering wheel in your life. How many of us today are willing to let our hands off, go into auto drive and let God take control of our life? How many of us are ready for that today? Are you ready for that today? How many of you would slip up your hand and say, I am ready for that today. I'm ready to turn it over to God. I'm ready to let Him have control and not me anymore. Amen. Amen. How many today that have never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you're so sick of being in control because you're out of control, but you want Jesus to be in control of your life. Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Is there anyone here that has not accepted Jesus? Wants Pastor Leo to pray with you today. Who would you be that would slip up your hand and say, pray for me today. I want to make that decision for Jesus. Father, we rejoice in this time together today. We're already living in expectation of next Sunday. What You're going to do? How we're going to praise and release ourselves unto You. Father, it's going to be a glorious service and it's 7 days away. It's 7 days away. It's going to be a glorious service because on the Lord's day, we are going to be in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We praise you. Be with this congregation as we go our separate ways. May your hand be upon each and every one of our lives, and we rejoice in you forevermore. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.